Welcome to Locked On Heat. My name is Wes Goldberg. My usual co-host, David Ramil, won't be joining the show today. On today's show, we're talking with Heat assistant coach and former player Chris Quinn, and then we'll talk to Heat Summer League standout Duncan Robinson. I got a chance to sit down and talk to both of them one-on-one during Summer League in Sacramento, and I think you're really going to enjoy both of these conversations. My talk with Chris in particular was really good. We covered a lot from his experience joining the Heat after the 2006 finals, to now when he's coaching Bam and Justice Winslow to play point guard during Summer League, but he's definitely a company man. He's got all of the Spoisms down, which is pretty interesting just to see how the culture infiltrates these longer interviews. Still, it was fun to catch up with him, and then after, we'll check in with Duncan, who I think has a really good chance to land one of Miami's two-way deals. But first, from the bowels of Golden 1 Center, here's my conversation with Chris Quinn.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
First of all, pretty good turnout for a summer league game. Do you think this like helps the guys as far as getting some like NBA type of experience or in an NBA arena? It's kind of an NBA crowd here.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a real game environment. It's great to have a great turnout for NBA summer league. I mean, and it's a great city, obviously, to be hosting it.
Mm-hmm. You got your start in Orlando Summer League, right? So, I mean, this is kind of not replaced, replaced Orlando Summer League.
Right.
Is it a little bit extra special for you to sort of coach these guys during these times?
Yeah, you know, Summer League is always fun. Mm-hmm. It's a fun time for, you know, guys to improve, but it's also fun for guys that, you know, can make a name and make a career. And, you know, every minute, every game, everything matters for a lot of these guys. Hopefully I can just pass on a little knowledge from my own journey.
Do you, like, are you able to kind of relate to some of these guys as far as stories or just kind of telling them, like, these are the kind of things you got to work on, you got to do to kind of really make it?
Yeah, just continuing to spread the message about just staying ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's guys that don't play much and then play and get an opportunity and play really well, and they get jobs because of it. So, you know, at the end of the day, you just control what you can control. You got to grind through some stuff sometimes. The ups and downs of the summer league and every game, every minute, you know, relying on. You might not play a game and then have to be ready the next game. So there's a lot that goes into it.
Do you feel like obviously the players, they have to stay ready too, but like you had an opportunity to head coach summer league. Juwan did too. Now it's Eric. But you and Juwan are both on his staff kind of. I'm assuming kind of guiding him, mentoring him, and then also just being there for whatever he needs. What does it say about this organization where they're just like, you know what, we know that Summer League is typically about the players, and those are the guys that get on TV and et cetera, but they're giving you guys also the opportunity to grow and develop.
Yeah, and, you know, that's part of growing as a coach. Juwan did it, and then he helped me last year, and now EG is the head coach. I'm trying to help him. You know, he's one of my really good friends. It's fun to coach with him, fun to learn with him, and you know, Summer League is for the players, but it's also for us to learn and grow as well. And, you know, we take a lot of pride in trying to put our players in positions where they can be successful.
From a coaching standpoint and then, like, a player development standpoint, with the addition of the two-way contracts last year, do you guys kind of approach Summer League differently as far as maybe scouting or judging players? Like, this guy might do better as far as, like, getting some time in Sioux Falls, or this guy might, you know, be better served having some time on an NBA bench. Is that ever a thought when you're kind of watching these guys?
That's probably a better question for our front office.
Mm-hmm.
But we take pride in developing all these guys, you know, whoever they are, from a roster to a guy we just brought in, you know, 3 days ago. We hope that they leave better off than when they got here.
Derrick Jones Jr. is like a perfect example of a guy who joined the developmental system, has developed, and now he's like hitting threes out there and stuff like that. Talk a little bit about like what you're seeing from him so far.
Yeah, well, he it's really a testament to him. He's put in the work. He's committed to it. He's committed to the plan. He's been in Miami working really hard on his game, and it's showing results out there, and his confidence as well.
And then another guy who's been taking big steps is Bam Adebayo. I mean, you were there last summer in Orlando when he started. Nobody really knew what he was capable of, even at Kentucky, because he didn't play a whole lot. But he started running point center sort of a little bit. Now he's doing even more now. What are you seeing from him? I mean, former point guard. What do you see from him that gives you guys the belief last summer and now this summer again to sort of say, this guy can handle this?
Yeah, well, he's very versatile. He's very talented. And, you know, he's showing it. And he's another guy that works hard. And, you know, in the modern day basketball, bigs like him are valuable. And he's doing a really good job out there.
With big guys like him and then Justice Winslow as well does a lot of this kind of stuff. What do you think as like a point guard playing in the NBA? You are obviously more of a traditional, kind of more pure point guard. What do you think of when you just see these like supersized guys around the league, not only on the Heat, but able to play like that at the point guard spot?
Yeah, you know, it's just the game continues to evolve.
Yeah.
You know, game changes, game gets better, players get better. Things just evolve and change, and that's the way the modern game is right now.
Do you ever work with Winslow as far as point guard drills? Is that just part of the thing that
yeah, goes, well, I mean, we work with Justice on everything, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he's obviously he's played almost every position for us at one point or another, so his versatility is something we definitely like and work on.
Do you think he's got the ability to just do it more, maybe play like a full-time supersized point guard role? Is that in his wheelhouse?
Man, we'll have to see how it plays out, you know, based on roster and everything. But he's definitely super versatile and has the ability to do a lot of different things, which is extremely valuable for a team.
And you made the team, I think, after the 2006 season, right? Going into that. Gary Payton was in that locker room.
Yeah.
For a guy coming out of Notre Dame point guard. Is that a dream scenario to have Gary Payton in the locker room where you're just sort of starting in the NBA?
Yeah, I was super lucky. I had Gary Payton. I had Jay Will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then some other really good vets as well. Alonzo Mourning, UD, D-Wade, James Posey, Antoine Walker. I mean, the list goes on. Shaq.
Yeah.
So as a rookie, you know, I'm coming in looking to make the team, but also looking to learn and grow, and what a great team, you know, to learn and grow from. You know, all those guys that had such amazing experience and careers.
Right. I mean, a lot of personalities, too. What do you remember the most about that locker room?
Yeah.
That was the one that won the finals.
Correct. Yeah, I came in the year after the year after they won, and it was only, I think only two players had changed at the time. So there was definitely some great personalities. But, you know, a lot to learn from, a lot to grow from. And for me, I was just, you know, trying to make it.
Yeah, did you get hazed by Shaq? He's apparently legendary for the rookie hazer.
Did
he haze you at all?
He wasn't too bad.
Okay.
He wasn't too bad with me.
I heard he, like, made players carry him into the locker room somewhere. I think I read that somewhere.
He didn't do anything like that.
As far as this next season is going, I mean, you've had an opportunity to... You've had an opportunity to play under Popovich, under Pat Riley. You played under Spoelstra as well, and then you're coaching under Spoelstra. What have you taken away from those guys that sort of informs the way you're coaching?
Oh, man, I've taken so much from all those guys. I was extremely lucky. First in high school, I played for a great coach, and then in college, and Coach Bray. Coming in the league, Coach Riley, Coach Spo, Popovich, you know, I just lucked into, you know, some of the best coaches ever. And, you know, I think you learn a little bit from all of them, and you pick and, you know, you try to create your own thoughts. But at the same time, you know, every day I'm still learning from Coach Spo especially, but also our assistant coaches are really awesome as well. Juwan Howard, Dan Craig, Eric Glass, our summer league coach, Rob Fodor, Octavio De La Grana, all these guys, they, it's a pleasure working with them and learning from them every day. And, you know, we try to make each other better.
You have a big hand in the player development part of it, obviously. Spo kind of really during like the big three times started talking about the positionless basketball, almost like coined the phrase. I hadn't heard it before he started saying it, but does that kind of influence the way that you have to approach player development? Is it more than just like, you know, Hassan, you're not just working on rebounding and boxing out and blocking shots anymore. Now you kind of, do you have to work on everything with everybody at this point?
Yeah, I mean, we're in constant communication about what we're working on, how it translates to games, how we can be more effective in everything we teach. So, But yeah, that definitely plays into it. Yeah.
So what's the goal for you? I mean, is it NBA coach? Is it college coach? Like, what are you looking
for? Yeah. Yeah, the goal is to continue to learn and grow. Mm-hmm. But I like the NBA. I wouldn't put a stamp on anything. But you know, I really love the NBA. I feel blessed and lucky. I'm super grateful just to be in this position, to be able to play in the NBA and now coach in the NBA. I'm super super grateful for that.
Appreciate the time, Chris. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Good luck this season.
Yeah, thank you.
That'll do it for my conversation with Chris Quinn. I thought it was interesting at the end there how he wouldn't admit to wanting to be an NBA head coach, but I think he's got the chops and the resume to do it one day. All right, now here's Heat Summer League standout and 40% plus three-point shooter, Duncan Robinson.
First Summer League game, how did it feel?
It was a good experience. Obviously, you know, you want to win it, but you know, we're still kind of gelling as a group. We only have four or five practices, so it can be hard to kind of feel out playing with each other already. But you know, I think we'll you'll see a lot of growth in the upcoming games.
So you personally went 1-4 from 3-point range. Is it just, did you feel like you shook off the rust towards the end there, or how'd that feel?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, for me, it's not always about whether or not they go in, but just how they feel. And a couple of them felt good that didn't go in, so. You know, it's a part of basketball. Sometimes shots don't go.
Some of them, you know, coming off screens on some of them. Other ones are like kind of like driving kick and you're out there. Do you have a preference of how you shoot? Because I noticed before the game you were kind of practicing your jump step into it.
Not really a preference.
Yeah.
You know, just try to be aggressive and hunt shots. And, you know, my teammates find me, it's a catch and shoot opportunity. You know, I'll be sure to let it fly. But in other situations, you know, whether it's moving my feet or doing what I can to get open, you know. However they come, I'm willing to shoot them.
I mean, you know, you can shoot threes. That's not an issue. But is there something going into summer league, kind of getting to this NBA level now at this point that you're working on in particular? And did you see any results of that tonight?
Just trying to prove that you know, I can really guard at this level and be an adequate defender. So, you know, that's not going to change in over one night. But just trying to break that stereotype and continue to work at it and. You know, play with a toughness throughout the rest of the summer.
How'd you feel like you did tonight?
I thought it was all right. You know, first summer league game, you know, a little bit of a, you know, kind of say rust, tension, whatever you want to call it, nerves. But it was fun to be out there, I'll tell you that. It was a ton of fun. And, you know, when we were playing well in stretches, it was a blast to be out there. So, you know, I think we'll play better and better as the summer goes on.
So obviously you were the kind of the first guy, at least that we knew of, that the Heat called and signed after the draft happened. Can you tell me about that night? Obviously you didn't go drafted, but you were pretty quickly picked up there. Can you just kind of tell me through how your night went?
I kind of knew going into the night that if I wasn't going to go drafted, which is probably the likely outcome, that I was going to go with the Heat. And it was a combination of things. I felt really comfortable with the organization and I felt like it was a good fit for a variety of reasons. So, you know, as soon as that 60th pick was called, you know, I was excited to join the organization. So
they called you basically right after?
We had just kind of had an agreement beforehand.
Gotcha.
So it was just kind of agreed upon that if I didn't go, that I would be playing summer league. So.
Gotcha. Tell me about that. So you obviously met the organization. Did you come down to Miami? Or?
I didn't. We all met out here, but I talked on the phone with Coach Spoelstra a little bit. Which was great just to hear his voice and hear his kind of vision for the organization moving forward and you know, how maybe I could be a part of it. So, you know, I'm just excited for this opportunity and obviously first-class organization, how they handle everything. So, you know, I feel blessed to be in the situation that I'm in.
Cool. Appreciate the time. Yeah. Hey, good luck tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. As always, you can reach us by email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time.